Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing. Show flying, as it normally does, over 90 minutes in. Spent the last little segment talking about how much I miss coaches who are a little tougher on players. Something I grew up, another example I should have cited that I didn't. Michelle Therrien. They're soft, Austin. They're soft.
That one of the epic all-time rants of
all-time
this.
All-time rant.
You want to talk about all-time rants of the last 25 years? That one's up there.
So good, man. So good. I love it. Coaches that don't tolerate crap from anybody. And I'll never know this, but I will forever fantasize about like what Jim Leland told Don Kelly, one, before his first weekend as a manager, and two, if there were any conversations about like how he handled the O'Neill Cruz situation. You know, on Friday, Donnie doesn't bench Cruz. Does he talk to Leland in the interim? Jim's like, Donnie, you got to sit him. What do you do? What are you doing, Donnie? You can't let that guy go. Next time he does something, sit. I don't know. Just something I have considered. Not saying it'll happen. Not saying it did happen. Anyway, some more baseball talk I wanted to get through. What the heck happened with Bubba Chandler? I don't know if I have a great answer to this one either. But I was looking at this morning. At the end of May, Bubba Chandler was sitting there, had made 11 starts, 48 and two-thirds innings, a 2.03 ERA, 21 walks, 69 strikeouts, a 1.81 batting average against. Bubba was very good, best pitching prospect in baseball, number two overall prospect. We're all clamoring for him to be up here. A little bit surprised that he's not up here, and the Pirates don't promote him for whatever reason. Maybe there was something they saw inside of that. I sincerely doubt it. Maybe they just wanted to avoid Super 2, delay it a little bit longer. Maybe they didn't think it was worth it, giving him an opportunity to win NL Rookie of the Year. By the way, it's interesting, Jacob Mizorowski now. Boy, if that continues, how does that young man not have a chance to win NL Rookie of the Year?
Oh, there's no breakout candidate right now, Jason. It's got to be Mizorowski pitches like this.
I mean, you know, 103 and that type of stuff, that's going to be a runaway. And that's one reason I believe they kept Chandler down. Like, there was no breakaway candidate, and he would have an opportunity to win it. Well, since June, Bubba's gone the other way. Four starts, 9 1/3 innings pitched. One of those, I think he was out in the first inning, a 10.61 ERA, 8 walks, just 5 strikeouts, and a 3.33 batting average against. That's concerning, man. That's concerning, and that doesn't scream to me like, oh, he's just not executing pitches. I mean, those are some bad, bad numbers. That screams to me like somebody who maybe did not take what has happened with him terribly well. Kind of mentally, they've messed with a young pitcher that they really need this season and beyond. Is he frustrated? Is he letting too much of that creep into his game? I have no way of knowing that. But I know that Bubba Chandler, through 2 months, was absolutely dominant, and in June, he's been terrible. And now, him getting up here, it's not a matter of service time. It's not a matter of the business of baseball. It's a matter of he just needs to pitch better. You just need to get him here. Now, to transition, I had Jeff Passan on last night on the evening show, and he said he did expect Bubba Chandler to be up here, quote, sooner than later. Maybe that was just a general assumption, because I think a lot of us still expect that as well, but it was one of many things that Jeff said with me. I want to go through some of those takeaways. One of the first ones, and this I didn't expect to ask this so early, but it was about the idea of Bob Nutting selling. And he said, the first thing I asked Jeff was, are you surprised that for a national insider, you end up talking about the Pirates as much as you do? And he said a little bit, but a lot of it comes from Pat McAfee having him on. Pat's obviously from Pittsburgh, and he wants to talk about the Pirates and Bob Nutting selling. And I said, do you think that's a possibility? He said, well, maybe at some point in the near future. He said he's heard nothing. Nothing has crossed his radar that would suggest that Bob Nutting is selling the Pirates. And he said some other teams have not really been in a position where you were expecting sales, and they happen too. But no, quote, there's no indication at this point that that is in the offing. I think we sort of know that, but again, just interesting to hear Jeff Passan say it. I asked Jeff what he sees when he looks at the Pirates. Because we look at the Pirates and we see a lot of the nuance. We see the things day to day that bother us, the lack of offense, of course, pretty good rotation, confusion with where they're at with Ben Cherington, a little bit of a change with Donnie Kelly, etc. Well, what he sees with the Pirates, somebody that has more of a national perspective, I see a team whose leader in slugging percentage right now is a 38-year-old designated hitter. That's not the sort of plan you want to go win baseball games and make postseason appearances. And Jeff's absolutely right. And a big part of our conversation was the Pirates' offense, their lack of offense, what they can do to fix it. And Passan didn't have any great answers. I don't think anybody does other than making some changes philosophically, coaching-wise, get better players, a lot of it. I mean, it's not overly complicated, but it is something everybody's very much aware of how bereft of offense the Pirates are across Major League Baseball. It's why I said in the first hour this trade deadline is so important for them, because they have to figure that out. I asked Jeff, third takeaway, what he expects out of the Pirates at the trade deadline and what he's been hearing. And I cited a few names: Andrew Heaney, Caleb Ferguson, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Mitch Keller, David Bednar. And he said basically all of those guys are being talked about. The only two, you know, basically everybody's in play. They'll have conversations about anybody except for Paul Skeens and O'Neill Cruz, which is right about where I'm at with the Pirates. I think the trade Skeens talk was silly and remains silly. It's not going to happen. I wouldn't trade O'Neill Cruz. I don't think that makes any sense for the Pirates. I think there's a legitimate concern that they could get burned. I still don't think, and this is sort of astounding given his age and everything else, that they don't quite know what he is. And if you cut bait right now, I don't think you're going to get maximum value, and I think there's the possibility of him figuring it out in another place. And they've had that happen far too many times, and I don't think they want to see that happen again. So that was Passan on the trade deadline. I also asked him Bob's reputation around baseball and what other people think about it. I think he's seen as somebody who has a passionate fan base, who has arguably the most beautiful stadium in Major League Baseball, and completely wastes it. I saw this firsthand during the last playoff run. Pirates fans want to go to that ballpark. Passan continues, "It's a hard thing to come to terms with as a fan. If we have everything in place, if we built the stadium and have our passion, where's the reciprocation? What are you giving back to us? Why don't we have a team that's worthy of our stadium and of our fans? It's a super reasonable question to ask. It's one that Bob Nutting has no answer to at this point. Other owners see that. There's a pocket of owners out there that want the competition. They don't want people just going to cash revenue sharing checks and not reinvesting it into their team. This group of owners wants a vibrant baseball community in cities like Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, and Kansas City." And where I'll take that is I don't have access to the Pirates' books, and everybody can feel however they want about the Pirates and what they've spent and what they haven't spent, and I wish they'd spend more on Major League players. I wish they'd spend their money more effectively. That has been a miss, especially on offense. Ben Cherington hasn't done a good enough job in that. The Pirates do like to spend on processes, and that's not a defense of them. I do understand when you're a small market team, it makes more sense to put things in place that are repeatable, as opposed to buying a player who has a finite window with your organization. And the problem with the Pirates is that they haven't done a good enough job in that either. And they've been too patient with it. There's an intersection of those things with Ben Cherington. This offseason is a perfect example. The Pirates needed offense, and Ben didn't spend all of his allotted baseball operations budget on players. Spent it on analytics, on processes. That's happened. And it hasn't resulted in improved development. It hasn't resulted in improved international or domestic scouting and drafting and signing. It's not good. It's not good. And the last thing was more about baseball writ large and whether we're going to see a salary cap and a floor. And Limits and I were talking off air about this. I think it's something that is near and dear to both of our hearts, and I wish Passan's answer was different. I think he has more intel than either of us do about how other people are thinking. Some of what Jeff said to that when I asked, will we see a cap and a floor? I worry that the 2027 Major League Baseball season is in peril, Passan said. I'm not sure if the timing is necessarily right for Major League Baseball to go after a cap and a floor in this collective bargaining agreement, just because the media rights deals have not been taken care of. That could be a 2028 issue. I foresee a cap and a floor being likelier the next time around, but I don't discount it. Now, it's a tricky thing when you talk about a cap and a floor in baseball. Us in this position, we would love a cap and a floor, I think. Passan and I have texted about this and the perception in Pittsburgh, and he knows how this market feels, and I don't think he's against the fundamental ideas of it. I do think he comes more from a big market agent player side, and those people do not want a cap and a floor because they're skeptical of how much that's going to benefit players. One of the things that Jeff said, any sport that tries to cap the potential earnings of the people who make it up, I don't like that. I get that. I'm not out to try to screw the players either, but I do think Major League Baseball should sort of take a step back and think how people view it. I wish baseball was able to see what it is not. And in America, football is king. National TV contracts, what are our rituals? What do we follow the most? It's the NFL. The NFL has our attention. Baseball used to be that. It is no longer that anymore. But baseball can still be a greater part of the conversation. I think one of the things holding it back is the whacked out economic system. And I also disagreed with Jeff on this final point. I think Austin feels the same way, that if they did have a cap and a floor, he doesn't believe that would change things fundamentally between the Pirates and the Dodgers. Here's a quote. Suggesting that a cap would put the Dodgers and the Pirates on a level playing field is comedy. I don't think there's anything that can put them on a level playing field or even close to a level playing field, because what the Dodgers would do, if there was a cap in place, they'd just take that money and spend it in other areas that would allow them to be a better baseball team than the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I think what Passan is saying is they would spend more money on processes, infrastructure, scouting, travel, minor leagues, et al. All of these areas that aren't capped. And my answer to that is go right ahead. If you have it, spend it. If you're in a position to do that, awesome. But I think it's a better overall product if the amount of money you can spend on major league players, which you are admitting is the most important part of the machine, if that is tighter, that makes more sense. And if the Dodgers want to stay in better hotels, have a better spring training facility, have more robust minor league operations, have more robust scouting and analytics departments, good for them. That's a luxury they can afford because of their brand, because of their TV market, because of what they're bringing in. But I do think there would be a fundamental difference, and a difference that Major League Baseball would benefit from, by having a cap and a floor on Major League players.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Limits, where do you come down on that? You were pro cap and floor, right?
I'm significantly pro cap and pro floor. And, you know, baseball, when I compare it to the other sports, look at the NFL. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Would he still be in Kansas City after his rookie contract if the system economically was like baseball? No. Would Josh Allen be staying in Buffalo? No. Would Jordan Love, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers be in Green Bay? No, that's right. Just the harsh reality of it. And that's what makes football's so great as well because everyone has a fair shot. And teams are better, yes, because they're coaching and they're developing and their draft is better, but also because there's player retention of the players that you did draft and develop. Where a lot of the times in baseball, that is not nearly the case because there is no cap and there is no floor. And it's not the same level playing field that the Yankees have compared to the Pirates and Cincinnati. Sure, the Pirates, Cincinnati, Kansas City, the Cleveland, those types of teams can take extra steps. But this is an apples to oranges conversation compared to the Jets and the Giants who have found a way to screw it up over the last 10 years when Kansas City's thriving and the NFL is fine because of it. Like, it doesn't matter that big names are in Kansas City. Sure, I'm sure baseball is thrilled and over the moon that the Stars are in New York, the Stars are in L.A., the Stars are playing for the Cubs right now in Chicago. But there is also a blueprint that shows they can still thrive in other markets and still be successful and be captivating.
Yeah, and getting into the playoffs is not the same as having a legitimate chance at winning a championship. And
no.
I think that's what the NFL does. It gives more teams in a greater variety of teams a chance to win a championship. Baseball, you might have the odd team that sneaks in, and there are teams that can circumvent that, sure, with good player management, like the Brewers do it, the Guardians do it, the Rays do it. But when's the last time one of those teams won a World Series? When it comes down to winning a championship, it's almost always the team with the bigger budget.
Yeah, Cleveland, 1945.
Yep.
And sure, they had runs in the 90s. And sure, 2016 was probably the best World Series that we've seen in the last 20 years or so. Kansas City had one great year. Last year, they were good. Look where they are now, where outside of a couple years for the Yankees, it's sustained success. The Dodgers, over the last 10 years, completely dominant. They've won, what, like 7 division titles in a row?
Yep. Yep.
So you see like the Bills and the Chiefs dominating divisions, and those are not big market sizes. Those are still captivating. So some of that argument, it's just mind-boggling to me. And like you can make the same argument about the NBA. Sure, this might have been a boring finals. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was great.
Game 7, sure. Is SGA as captivating as LeBron? No. LeBron in Cleveland was exciting. LeBron in Miami was exciting. The OKC, Westbrook, KD, Harden teams were exciting. San Antonio had a dynasty for how many years? So don't make this big market thing has to be the end-all be-all where, you know, we have to make sure we cater and pander to them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this is. And that's why I don't think there's going to be a cap and a floor because the big markets run Major League Baseball.
Yep.
It's unfortunate. I agree with Passan, begrudgingly, that I don't think it's going to happen after December 2026, when the current CBA expires. I do think the 2027 season is in peril. I don't think that's going to help Major League Baseball, and I'm not sure if they're going to come out of it with the revamped economic system that the sport needs. And that's unfortunate. You know, I am a test case for the NBA. I was not into it that much. I thought the postseason was intriguing. It caught my attention. It caught my attention because the competition, because you have markets like, what, Indiana? Oklahoma City? Like, these aren't traditional powers. They're also getting in on the mix, and they're playing a palatable style of basketball. I'd love to see that with Major League Baseball. And you should be selling players. You should be selling stars. You should be selling success. And instead, Major League Baseball is selling the big markets. The big markets run things. And it's good for the 8 or 9 teams that are wealthy. For the other ones, not so much. And that's not making an excuse for the Pirates, that's just reality. The Pirates have to have a lot of things go right to figure it out. They obviously haven't. That's a separate discussion we have here. But I would absolutely like to have a cap and a floor. And that's a discussion. And we can take some calls on this if you want to weigh in, 412-928-9370. That in Pittsburgh, I think I'll find a lot of agreement. If I would have this discussion in Chicago, New York, L.A., those teams, those markets, they don't want to see a cap. They don't want to be told no. And I understand that. And I think when it comes down to it, players don't want a cap. Rich owners don't want a cap. The people who want a cap and will maybe begrudgingly accept the floor are the small market owners. And they don't wield enough power. And at the end of the day, it's easier for them to try to thread the very small needle and then basically play the victim the rest of the time and take whatever money they can in revenue sharing and just have business operate the way it is. It's easier to keep things status quo. It's not best for the fans. It's not best for the sport. But but it is best for those involved. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. And weather. It's cloudy today with a high of Sidney Crosby, 87 degrees. Good golf weather for Bob. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal services. Top this off by going out to the Fan hotline. Brian in New Brighton wants to talk about the Pirates and a cap. What's up, Brian?
How's it going?
Good. What's on your mind?
I have two really quick things. One, I think essentially that is what you were just talking about is where the big frustration with me with the Pirates are, is they do have to thread the needle. And with having and developing the pitching they do, it's almost essentially having a quarterback on a rookie salary right now that if you would have just took the revenue sharing money and put it a little bit towards a bat, you hit the play. This is their right at that place where they could thread that needle with their pitching staff, and they just completely dropped the ball and refused to even do that.
Yeah, and I mean, what they counted on just didn't happen. They counted on a bunch of internal improvement that they thought they were going to spur through analytics and coaching and development, and that hasn't worked out. It's why I think you should spend on players during these moments. You know, it's better to go buy a first baseman than an analytics wing, and I agree with you. I'm sure that's incredibly frustrating as a fan.
Well, and I think when it comes to the salary cap in general, they tried to resolve this by revenue sharing and letting the Dodgers go spend whatever they want and share with them. But when you have owners that won't, that like you said, invest in other things, or you know, the question I have, and I don't grasp this small market thing. Whenever your Pirates, or I think it was Tampa Bay, they're talking about is worth over $1 billion, that tells me that you're making money off of them if you're able to sell a franchise without even a stadium for over $1 billion, let alone something like the Pirates. So, yeah, they don't have the money essentially that you look like from coming in from the Dodgers, but you're still worth that amount of money, so you have to be making some type of money to sell your franchise, or am I wrong for that thought process?
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, that's one of the arguments that I have about Bob Nutting selling. People love to say that he's making a lot of money. I don't think that he's making money hand over fist on the Pirates, but I know that he can make a lot of money if he sold, and you could go disappear and be anonymous and, you know, have your sale be worth upwards of $1.5 billion, maybe closer to two with the Rays valuation that you're talking about. I'd take that and move on, man. That sounds pretty good to me. But, yeah, I mean, I think what you're looking at there, Brian, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We're going to move on. When teams are valued like that, they look at the possibility, what it can be. You know, the Pirates can be very profitable. Now, Nutting for years has operated in a way that was extremely cautious, and I think that's a valid criticism of him. And there's a lot of criticisms of Bob Nutting, but he's been too slow to take chances or overextend himself. And he will say it's trying to preserve the betterment of the Pirates or trying to grow this thing logically or whatever. But if you have somebody who doesn't look at it as much as a business, if you have somebody who looks at it as sort of a plaything and they want to, you know, take some risks and try to get people in there, and you hire the right people, all of a sudden you've got something really magical if it works. And you're going to make a lot of money. And I don't understand why the Pirates haven't taken that risk. Brian on the north side wants to talk about a cap and a floor. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you all doing?
Good. How are you?
This is good. This is Brian O'Neill. I used to work with you.
Oh, what's up, Brian? Great to hear from you, man.
So, I'm capping the floor. But the only reason I don't like it when Major League Baseball is blamed for the Pirates' problems. The Pirates' problems begin and end with the ownership and the management of the team. Since PNC Park opened, there's never been a time in baseball history where there's been more parity. 16 different teams have won the World Series since PNC Park opened. 5 more have been there. You talk about when was the last time the Nationals won it in 2019. The Rays were in the World Series in 2020. Everybody goes, and yet the Pirates, in a division with 3 comparable size metro areas, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, and St. Louis, and another that only goes to the World Series every 100 years or so, is the only one not to have won the division.
Yep.
In 30 years. Whose fault is that?
The Pirates. I'm not saying anything otherwise. I'm not disagreeing with you, man. You're 100% right. I think both can be true. Yeah. I think you can blame it. The Pirates' problems are their own, but I think Major League Baseball would be better with a cap and a floor.
I do too, because then Nutting would have to at least try to compete.
Yep.
And he doesn't
yep.
right now.
Yep.
So
I agree with you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate your thoughts over the years, man. You're the best.
All right. Take care, brother.
Thanks, Brian. Brian O'Neill, it's a special surprise. Brian loves baseball, man, and always has, and he was great to me when he was at the Post-Gazette, just somebody I grew up reading, big Brian O'Neill fan. But, yeah, I mean, both can be true. I thought I was clear about that. Maybe I wasn't as clear as I should be. Like, the Pirates should be blamed for their own problems. Like, it's certainly within the boundaries of common sense for them to put a competitive product on the field. I talk about this a lot with Bob Nutting, and this is, again, not an excuse for Bob Nutting. Just look at the numbers. Don't look at the payroll for the next 10 seconds. That's all I'm asking you. Don't look at the payroll. This will be 19 seasons, and they've had 4 winning records. That's just not good enough. That's not good enough. I don't care who you are. If you're the Rooney family, if you're Lemieux and Burkle, if you're FSG, if you're anybody who's ever owned a team, that's not good enough. Major League Baseball has its problems. It can be better. I wish it saw itself a different way. I have strong feelings about a cap and a floor. All that stuff should happen. But that's not saying, oh, poor Pirates. No, they have access to put a winning product on the field. Don't cry poor. Don't say, oh, this is all stacked against us. No, nobody's saying that. The Cleveland Guardians do it. The Tampa Bay Rays do it. Other teams, like Brian's pointing out, they're able to do it. They make smart personnel decisions, and the Pirates haven't made those. And that's infuriating.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.